We're good. That's
no. Do we need to explain, like,
no, so no wait, vamping.
You didn't even tell me how we're gonna do this. Actually, like,
well, we're just going straight into it. But this is the pre-Intuit stuff.
Okay.
Well, because I mean, we're gonna get into it, but first we gotta get into it, right?
No, wait. What do you do before you get into things, man?
So this is the part where you tell me we're going to cut all this, we laugh, we make a joke, and then we go into the intro.
Okay, so we're going to fake an intro. No, we don't need to fake an intro. We just do the real intro. I don't even remember how. I don't know how to do the intro, actually. I was like, I'll just do this myself. And then I realized I have no idea what you do. I just kind of blank out until it's my turn to talk.
It's a gamer. We're here. It's a gamer. That's it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Make Me a Gamer. I'm your host, T-Man, and I'm here with...
Harvey Z, in the place to be.
See, it comes right in. It
now
comes
I
naturally.
Know where I am. I know what's going on now.
We're doing a little bit of a different thing this time. So it just so happened that our podcast recording time lined up exactly with the Washington Justice playing the London Spitfire in the Overwatch League. So we might not, it'll depend on how long the actual match itself goes, because we're not going to, like, if it's a 2 hour match, we're not going to talk for 2 hours, and we're clearly going to talk about other stuff as it's going on, but we've kind of got it go, like, I have it on my computer screen that we can both watch it. We won't have the audio, so I don't want to have to edit that crap.
I'm a notoriously bad multitasker. You've mentioned this on your... like previously, that you can play video games, watch TV, do multiple things. I need to do like one thing at a time.
All right. Well, this is where you're going to learn to multitask.
I guess this is part of making me a gamer.
Yeah, yeah. I'm teaching you new skills right here at this moment. So we're starting a little after the match started. To give you just a general heads up, the Washington Justice has kind of become our team. We're sort of rooting for them. We watched their... premiere last week, their very first match.
We did not get shut out.
No, we did not. It was a 3-1 against the New York Excelsior, which is one of the best teams in the league, so it wasn't bad.
Yeah, it's a rebuilding year.
This is the first year. We can't... It's just a building year. There's no re about it.
Fair. At least, and also last time, I believe, we lost very efficiently.
Yeah, the whole match from start to finish, I think took like an hour.
And normally these things are like 1.5 hours?
Yeah. And so it was kind of interesting because we lost very quickly on the three maps we did lose. But then we also won really quickly on the map that we won.
Efficient.
It's like, we're going to get this over with. We've got places to be, things to do.
Yes. And so part of me is like, maybe we'll just efficiently win this time. In the time it takes to do the podcast, we'll know an answer by the end of the game or the match.
So currently, just as an update, this is going to be weird because we're not going to we're not actually like having any sort of video along with this. So it's experimental. We're going to try and keep it like an actual conversation. I'm not going to be like, oh, look at that shot. Oh my God. Look at him juke back and forth.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Look at that headshot, man. He's doing so good. Yeah. That kind of stuff. Not gonna
or like
happening.
A play-by-play. Now he has the ball, he's moving around with the ball. No, there's no ball, he's just shooting things. More shots are being fired.
There is no ball, except there is a ball because it's a hamster ball.
Ah,
see, that doesn't make any sense in context.
So if you don't watch Overwatch at all, like, why are you listening to this, I guess?
Well, so anyways, what I was saying is that they're currently map one. So the way Overwatch League format works, this is a good way to talk about Overwatch League. There are four maps, and it's one of each type of map. So in Overwatch, there's King of the Hill maps, payload maps, capture point maps, and hybrid maps. And I think they're called slightly different things. I think the 2CP is called Assault in the actual game, but either way, it's capture point, like, and
they're
so
like different objective type maps.
Yeah, different objectives. And so there's one of each type of map in the so they play one of each type, and usually games are either 3-1 or 4-0. If they go 2-2, like, in, you know, each team wins a map, they go to a tiebreaker, and it's always a King of the Hill map again because King of the Hill maps can never end in ties.
Hmm.
And so the way it proceeds, at least the way they're doing it this season, first map is always King of the Hill. Second map is Hybrid. Third map is Capture Point. And then fourth map is Payload.
It's always in that order?
It's always in that order.
Got it.
So they're currently doing the King of the Hill map. Washington Justice is currently ahead 1-0, but London Spitfire is about to take the second point. It's going to become 1-1 here. There, just did.
And so would it be fair to say the maps are almost like quarters?
Kind of, yeah. There's an overtime quarter as well, but it's
four parts to the game itself.
And after the first two map, there's kind of a halftime and a look at what just happened, like goes mm-hmm. to the casters, you know, back to the desk sort of thing.
Ah, yeah. Yeah. I'm just trying to, for the sports ball people out there who are like, what is this new sports?
Yeah, I mean, it is essentially, there's like 3-minute breaks in between each map, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. It's changed because budget has changed. Like between the first and second season, actually Overwatch League went down in budget. Ooh. They're constricting, you know, how Activision laid off 800 people, even though record profits.
But, record profits.
But, you know, and they want esports and Overwatch League to be like a flagship thing, but they still cut the budget to it for some reason.
Okay. Even though they expanded teams and have like lofty goals and such? Or
yeah, it's weird. I'm not entirely sure what's going on. But like the production values are definitely down. Like they got rid of the desk. Like they got the people who are like do like the halftime stuff just kind of stand in a corner next to a wall now while they're talking.
Yeah.
It's weird. I don't know. I don't like it that much. But you can definitely tell that there's a little bit
maybe they went over budget last year with DJ Khaled.
Yeah.
He was at the, I guess, their Super Bowl type there.
Yeah, the grand finals between the two teams. Like, it was done at the Barclays Center.
Which was a huge venue, great. And you would think they would make prop, but then the musical guest
was DJ Khaled, who knew absolutely nothing about Overwatch.
It was
an interesting performance, yeah.
Because the crowd also was not there for DJ Khaled.
Yeah, like DJ Khaled had no idea what Overwatch was.
And he had a show that evening.
Yeah, and in like somewhere else. Yeah, like it wasn't like even in New York.
Yeah.
And so, and the crowd was not into it because they were there to see Overwatch. And, you know, the DJ Khaled circle and the Overwatch League circle, there's a little intersection.
There's Harvey Z there.
Yeah, so that was, I don't know, maybe that was definitely one of those, like, wait, you got Maroon 5? Like, does anyone actually want to see them?
Now, I thought Maroon, well, so this is tough. It's the Super Bowl, there's lofty expectations. I like Maroon 5, actually, as a band.
I do, too. I know, I mean, I don't hate them.
Yeah.
They're very average.
Oh, okay. I mean, I was like, they're a fine rock band. They're not like one of my top faves, but they have some catchy pop songs that I like. The singles. So again, I'm not getting into like deep cuts on their CDs. But like,
do you
I've heard
have
a few
their
singles.
CDs?
I don't have any of their CDs.
So you can't get into the deep cuts then.
Well, I have Apple Music now. I've become a streamer now, actually this year.
That's not, you got to be careful saying that.
I guess I stream music.
Yeah,
I legitimately legally do that too.
Yeah, you're not a streamer in the gaming sense of the streaming
yet.
Yeah, Harvey Z coming to a Twitch near you.
Oh God, can you only be a Twitch streamer?
There's oh God,
I'm a real life streamer.
There's follow Mixer.
Me. Actually, don't follow me.
Wait, follow you on Twitter.
That's true. I was like, in real life though, that's just stalking. Please don't stalk me. As interesting as my life may be.
Yeah. Don't stalk. That's a bad thing. PSA.
Yes.
Just don't stalk people.
But you were saying there was Mixer?
Yeah, I think that's Microsoft's version of Twitch.
Okay.
Yeah. They have their own thing. People
but it sounds
stream
like so
on
streaming
it.
Is basically the word that you use for gamers who like there's no other word to meaning to stream.
I mean, it's always like they always say Twitch streamer in front of it. Like,
yeah.
As kind of, like, the notation or whatever. Like, if you're a Twitch streamer, you play video games.
Can you
but
be,
I guess you
yeah.
can also stream on YouTube. Like, YouTube has their, like, live
yeah.
crap or whatever. And I guess there's also Facebook Live and those things.
Periscope?
Periscope was a thing. Is that still a thing?
it exists. It's not gone under like Vine, but
okay, fair.
It's not like, yeah, that's a weird place to, I guess you could be like an Instagram. No, that's like the Gram.
Yeah, Instagram is more just like photos.
Well, there's videos on there, live videos and stuff for like,
true,
but to make a career out of that would be difficult.
All right, the match is getting intense here. I'm like,
is it?
Yeah, I'm like, getting back just and
shooting
forth.
There's more shooting.
Yeah, it looks like Justice is about to take the second point and win the map.
Holy crap.
There, it's going to be close. Now, see, this is a big deal because, one, like, a lot of teams... So, the casters and, like, the personalities have kind of thought, like, counted Justice out. Like, they're, like, one of the least ranked teams. They don't...
I don't believe
they
that.
Don't have a lot of respect. On the other hand, London Spitfire, who they're playing... is literally the league champions. Like, they won season one.
Yeah.
So they're the returning champs. And currently, we're London Spitfire is 0-2, and Washington Justice are 0-1. And it's...
Oh, you don't have to tell them how bad, like, Spitfire suck. We can just tell them they're the champions, and if we beat them, we beat the champions.
Well, I mean, it's... Yeah, I don't know. I'm giving the you're people giving the all the facts. Information.
Yes.
Like, I'm not trying to...
Not fake newsing it here.
Yeah, yeah, no fake news. It's tight, though. They're really battling on this. I it's
like, I still can't tell if we're winning or not now because it's a sea of blue.
So the way the Overwatch League thing works is there's a home team and an away team, and the home team has the blue skins or like the color, and Justice just won.
Oh!
Yeah! Woo!
But yes.
Anyway, so... The away team always has, like, white skins with kind of their color.
Mm-hmm.
And the home team has their... just, like, regular jerseys.
Their classic colors, yeah.
And so Spitfire is, like, a kind of...
Teal?
Tealish, like, kind of... not cerulean.
Cerulean.
Cerulean, I guess it's...
Yeah.
Periwinkle, you know.
Okay.
Light robin's egg blue.
Ooh, I do... It is a nice robin's egg color. I will say that, yeah.
So that's their color. And then the Justice, of course, from DC is red, white, and blue.
Red, white, and blue, baby.
But they're the away team. So they're in white, and London is in blue. So what I was going to say before the match ended as Justice won... I get to go into, like, Overwatch strategies, and I can explain goats and all that stuff as well. But on King of the Hill, there's a, like, two percentages that are going up side by side. And one's in the Washington Justice color and one's in Spitfire color. And so the white one was at 99% and the blue one, I think, was at like 70-some percent. And it was in overtime, which meant that if Justice could hold the point and knock Spitfire off, they won.
So you'd have to kill all the Spitfire members, basically? Because so they're contesting over a point. That's what the percentages are for, is the percent of time spent.
Correct.
On
point. It just counts up from 0% to 100%. Yeah. I'm not sure how quickly it counts up. It might be like a little over a second per percentage. Because...
Mm-hmm.
Maps will usually, if it goes to 3, it'll usually take 10 to 15 minutes. I don't actually know. I don't know the full math on it.
But it's like a steady count. It's not a sped up count or a slowed down count.
Right.
It's just, so I myself don't know actually about like that, in that overtime, how does overtime stay always? Is it just as long as there is an opposing team member on the area that's contested?
Yes.
If they step off, though,
then the overtime starts
counting
down. And the longer overtime goes, the quicker the bar goes down.
And if they come back on, so then it goes back up to the top. So you can just keep interrupting the count.
Right. But there, it starts getting to, like, if you're off for, like, a second, it's over with.
Okay.
So you don't have to kill everybody if you manage to knock them off, or, like, get them in, say, a Zarya grab, which is a ultimate that, like, draws everybody to a specific place and they can't move.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, if you do that off the point and everyone in the other opposing team is stuck in that, you can win.
Okay.
And then there's this thing that is lovingly called the C9-ing by pretty much everyone in the Overwatch League. It is made for... It was named after this team called Cloud9.
Uh-huh.
They were like the team that, I don't know who they are now. They might actually be London. Like, they could, I think London.
They were a non-professional team.
So they were a non-professional team, And when this happened, they were still like Cloud9 is like the brand or, mm-hmm. or like the overall company that sponsor? Runs the team, sponsor, because they have Cloud9 has like things in like Call of Duty and League of Legends and have stuff as well. But in this particular match, the Cloud9 like killed, they were like, it was like overtime or something on, they were on the payload and they were killing everybody and had the advantage. And then they all ran off to chase kills and overtime ran out and they lost.
So C9ing is a stupid.
C9ing is a stupid. C9ing is when you can win and then you just, but like you're not paying attention to the actual goal, which is the point.
Uh-huh.
And then they just like abandon the point and the other team wins or gets a checkpoint or whatever.
I was like, oh, this is a brilliant strategy. What is C9ing? I've never heard of it. And then, oh, it's a stupid when you
C9ing is a stupid. Yeah.
It's, okay.
It's the everyone will in Twitch chat will definitely say C9 as soon as people abandon the point and lose. Like it's just it's one of those things that gets typed in just like C9.
GG.
Yeah, GG, things like that.
So you mentioned one thing. You've told me, but the viewers might be like, what? Goats?
Yeah, I did mention goats and just no follow-up, no context. Just so there are goats in Overwatch.
Unlike Goat Simulator. No, there are goats in Goat Simulator. But what is goats?
So I don't actually know the origin. I don't think it's an acronym.
You just said greatest of all time.
I mean, it might have come from that. I don't know if it actually was used like that in they created the name.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially, goats is the current meta of Overwatch. And the meta is basically the best combination of heroes to be playing.
In like any type of game. Like a meta is a gaming term.
Yeah, it's a gaming term. If you're on meta or playing meta, you're playing one of the best heroes or best characters. You know, like Smash Brothers has meta characters. You know, like Fox in Super Smash Brothers Melee is, top tier. And so Overwatch has gone through a lot of different metas. There was the Beyblade meta.
I'm trying to think of what is the Beyblade. I don't know.
Yeah, so this is stuff I can talk about.
Yeah.
Beyblade meta was when Anna was first introduced. Before all her stuff got changed and like brought into respectable things, her nano boost was crazy because it upped power, it upped speed, and it upped defense for whoever, so mm-hmm. her ultimate ability. Well, okay, let's back up. In Overwatch, every hero has an ultimate ability, and it charges up, and depending on your stats, like, it'll charge up over time by itself, but it goes up faster by when you deal damage, or if you're a support, if you heal, or doing other things, like, related to your character, like, things like that will raise your ult faster. So gaining ult quickly is a big part of the game because it lets you know how well you're doing. Like, it gives you a good idea. Like, if you build your ult up fast, you're dealing a lot of damage, you're performing.
You're doing things that you're actively helping in some way.
Exactly. And so Anna was the very first new character that was added to Overwatch after the base game. And her ultimate is called Nano Boost. And what it does is she basically shoots a dart at a character and they become super powerful.
A single character.
Yeah, a single character gets boosted. And so, like I said, the original variant, speed was upped, damage was up, defense was upped.
Reinhardt?
Reinhardt was a target, but not the Beyblade.
Oh.
Reinhardt was crazy.
He's just a tank with a shield.
So yeah, and a hammer. And a hammer. Yeah, and so he has like big reach and never runs out of ammo. Yeah. And when you multiply his speed, like you nano boost Reinhardt, he just runs in and starts swinging and he's really hard to kill. So that was a favorite strategy. But Beyblade was Reaper. So what they would do was Reaper would get up top over the team and Anna would nano boost him right as he did his ultimate, which is like this 360 degree shotgun fire. And so because he was faster and did more damage, they called it the Beyblade because he's spinning around in a circle.
Wait, is Beyblade those weird top
yes.
like, things that like okay, like, I was like, is this an anime? Where's Beyblade from? It's that weird top game where you shot tops at each other and they battled out.
Yeah.
Was it related to an anime or was it just a stand?
I think so. I think it was, like, related to an anime or, like, there was, like, anime advertising with it. I don't know. Okay. I can't
remember. Do you remember? So, like, that seems like the modern generation, the old school one. Like another Crossfire?
Yeah, I do remember Crossfire.
With the metal pellets and you shot, like, you had a little gun thing and you shot, like, tops that spun into the opponent's corner.
Now that you've said that, the commercial is stuck in everyone's head that's listening to it.
That's a very 90s thing. Crossfire!
You'll get caught up in it.
Our neighbor had Crossfire, and so, yeah. One of those random, forgot about it for like 10 years of my life. Beyblade, where does my mind go?
Crossfire! Thank you. So yeah, so that was one of the first, like, named metas.
Because it was successful, basically.
Yeah, and yeah. That was used a lot in pro strats.
Oh.
I don't know what's going on here.
Are they running goats right now, actually?
Yeah, they are running goats. So I'll explain what goats is, and then I can go over a few of the other metas. Yeah. Currently, it's a goats war. Justice just got the first point on the hybrid map, but they're both running the exact goats team. Yeah. So in the current meta, the best thing to run is 3 tanks, 3 support, because you have a lot of health and a lot of healing, so people can just be topped off, and it's really hard to kill anyone because everyone just, like, heals so fast and so quickly. So the characters involved in it are...
Whoops.
Someone...
Forgot about that.
Forgot to turn off their phone.
We'll edit it in post.
The goats meta is Reinhardt, Zarya, and D.Va as the tanks. And then Lucio, Zenyatta, and Brigitte as the support.
And supports are basically like healers or like...
They're basically healers. Yeah. Like, in other games, support doesn't necessarily mean healing, but Overwatch kind of backed themselves into a corner and made, like, supports have to be healing. Like, mm-hmm. For a while, Symmetra was under the support category, but she was the only non-healing support, and every new support they added also had healing, and so...
Is she still then a support?
No, she's under offense or DPS.
So they had to probably change her abilities and skills a little bit.
A little. She's been the character that's gone over the most changes, but her skills are very similar to what she had under support. Okay. Like, she still has a teleporter. She still has turrets. Mm-hmm. Like, Symmetra's original abilities, she would get an ultimate that was a teleporter, and she could place it anywhere on the map, and there would be another teleporter that came up and spawn, and so it was basically instantaneous transport for anyone that was respawning or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it could move your team very quickly back to the point and engage a second time. Mm-hmm. But because she didn't heal, like, what she originally did was she could give in every character an extra 25 shields.
Yeah.
And that wasn't... It was okay, but it wasn't the same as, like, being able to heal all the damage being taken. Like, it's just a slightly extra damage. Like
Torbjorn, I think, is the dwarf.
He had a similar thing. He also doesn't do that anymore. They also changed him.
Oh.
He doesn't have... He would, like...
Dispense, like, armor packs.
Yeah.
Got rid of that? Aw.
Yeah. Yeah, they changed that. So, anyway, back to goats. Mm-hmm. Just to give a general idea. So, Brigitte is basically what caused the goats meta, because she has the ability to, every 5 seconds, heal someone for, I think, 75. And if they're already full health, it gives them, like, 50, up to 50 armor, I think.
Is it active?
Or it might be just straight up 75 armor. And the armor goes away after 5 seconds. Like, once she gets her ability back, if it hasn't been taken out, it goes away. But that can help in a situation, like, because armor is different from regular health in Overwatch. I don't know the exact details, but it's like for every 2 damage, normally it would take 2 health, but it only takes 1 armor out or something like mm-hmm. that. It's some ratio like that where it lessens damage and it's harder. So, like,
and you can have less health, but armor will stack on top of it, and it doesn't, like, fill up your health bar per se.
Correct.
So when the armor is gone, you're back to your whatever low health. But yes. You can get healed by other medkits and stuff like that, even while you have armor.
Right.
Yeah. Temporary hit points if you're a D&D person.
Exactly. And shields kind of work the same way, except they don't give any extra defense, but what they do is regenerate on their own. Like, if you don't take damage after a certain amount of time, shields will regenerate, and they're always above health as well. So, like, you can get your health back without needing a healer. Mm-hmm. And so different characters have different strengths. Like, Zenyatta has very low actual health, but has a ton of shield. So he can regenerate his own health easily if he can get out of a situation. Anyway, so in GOATS, one of the most important characters is Brigitte, because she has this, on top of the armor ability, if she does damage to anyone, she has passive healing in like a radius around her. And then on top of that, her ultimate gives people a bunch of armor as well. Mm-hmm. Now they've changed it because she's been so powerful. It used to just last forever. Now it only lasts 30 seconds. But that was part of the reason GOATS meta took off, is because just this crazy amount of healing and armor. And armor is harder to take care of.
And she has a shield?
And she has a mini Reinhardt shield that can protect herself. So she's
kind of like a tanky support.
Yeah, like, for me, I really like Brigitte because I always end up playing... I'm one of the only people that will ever actually pick support when I play. And what always happens is, like, four people go DPS and then one person goes tank.
Genji.
Yeah, or something stupid like that. So I like Brigitte because she kind of... She isn't good at, like, direct, like, burst healing, but she can kind of hold her own and has a lot of helpful abilities because, like, she has like a stun with her shield. Mm-hmm. And that's the last piece of the puzzle as to why Brigitte changed the meta, is because she had cross counters, I think that's what they call them, are very good. And so, like, it might not be cross counters. God, there's a term for when you...
Like a direct counter to another player?
Let me talk. It's things that disrupt or change how things are going. Like May's freeze, Reinhardt's charge, Brigitte's shield bash, the earth shatter when Reinhardt knocks everyone down.
So they interrupt moves.
Yeah, they're interrupts that like change motion or thing like stop or stun or things like that. It's called CCing, and in my head I call it cross counter, but that's not what it is. I don't know what we also just lost our feed. It's Overwatch League is going black, and everyone in Twitch chat is complaining about it.
Oh, so it's not just a your computer slash.
No, it went away. It was not just us. Anyway, so because of that, Brigitte became like a staple, and they've slowly been nerfing her into the ground and like changing all her abilities to try and make her less powerful, so that she's not like the warhorse of this meta. But what else happens is Lucio has area heal and speed boost to help everyone move around, and then Zenyatta can discord other tanks, because like in metas you usually have mirror matches, so like it'll be GOATS versus GOATS. Mm-hmm. Because that's just what the best what it is. And so you have Zenyatta because he can do the more direct healing of everyone straight up with his orbs, and he can also discord people, which has people, they take an extra 25% damage when they're discorded, and so it helps take down the big tanks when someone's discorded,
because meta is normally, is it always like this mirroring thing, or usually the meta is like there's a bunch of people who play the meta because it's the common or most winningest way, but then isn't there like an anti-meta or like a counter to it where if you don't face the meta there's crappy outcome, but if you face a meta you're more likely to win against that?
Kind of. But right now the best anti-GOATS is GOATS. Some people run a Sombra instead of a D.Va, because D.Va is pretty much the least needed one of the three tanks. It's just she has a lot of health, and the defense matrix is actually good at, you know, eating up Zarya Gravs or just general fire from like, well, I guess, yeah, she like defense matrix only helps against three of the five people in GOATS. So yeah, so D.Va is not super needed.
I mean, three out of five sounds pretty like essential.
But like Reinhardt's hammer, Brigitte's whip, and Zarya's beam all can't be eaten by a defense matrix.
True.
And so, and defense matrix is one of D.Va's best abilities in terms of defensive maneuvers.
It's also difficult to do, I would think.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so Sombra sometimes replaces D.Va, but the key in GOATS is mostly Reinhardt and Zarya, because Reinhardt has his big shield and can defend everyone from, like, attacks and things like that. He's basically, if your Reinhardt goes down, you're pretty much screwed. Okay. He's the first line of defense.
And so the opposing team will usually want to target the Reinhardt of the team?
Probably.
And then the rest of the team wants to protect their Reinhardt?
Pretty much. And Zarya is important because she is going to be the biggest damage dealer, because Zarya has an ability where you gain energy, and the higher energy she has, the more damage she does. And so it's very easy for her to... if she gets up, she can go from 0 to 100. And if she's at 0, she does some damage, but is not great. Mm-hmm. But if she gets up to 100, she's basically doing as much damage as like a primary DPS, if not more. Mm-hmm. And so she's going to be the main damage dealer out of this group. And on top of that, she has bubbles as her ability, where she has a protective bubble of her own and a protective bubble that she can put on other people. And that's how she gains energy. Is if you shoot the bubbles when they're on her or an enemy, like, it, she gains power.
Is that a new thing?
That's always been her ability. That's always, huh. And so those bubbles protect, they last about 2 seconds, and there's a finite amount of damage they can protect from, but they completely protect from that damage. Oh. So, like, a Reinhardt shield goes down, Zarya puts a bubble on him, and he's safe for 2 seconds. You know, he can take some damage. And that could be the turn of the tide. Like, a good Zarya, if her bubbles are on point, like, she can gain a lot of energy, protect her team. Like, a Zenyatta's about to get dived upon. She puts a bubble on the Zenyatta. Suddenly, he's safe, and the entire team can turn on the dive. And that's kind of, like, why GOATS has to play against GOATS, because they have so... that, like, everything kind of synergizes so well together.
And so the old metas would get crushed by this, basically.
Pretty much. Like... So Brigitte came out, so it's interesting because whenever they, sometimes they make new characters to try and alter the previous meta, and Brigitte was that, and she successfully did it because now GOATS is what everyone runs.
And the previous big meta was Dive?
Dive, yes. And so Dive was Tracer, Genji, Winston, D.Va, Zenyatta, and I think Lucio.
So 2 DPS, 2 tanks, 2 supports. Yeah, it was a 2-2-2. Those specific people.
Usually those specific people.
Okay.
And so in that case, the strategy was to, like, pick a target and everyone just converge on that target. And so, like, Winston would jump in and Zen would discord the target. Winston would jump in, Tracer would blink in, Genji would, you know, do Genji things, and everyone would converge on that one target. And if you get that first pick, then you can proceed to, like, take out the rest of the team. Usually it's the Zenyatta, because Zenyatta is not very good at being mobile.
It's just purely to get a numbers advantage. Yeah. Once you have the numbers advantage, you just press forward.
Yes. Okay. That's how pretty much all of pro Overwatch works. They're going for the numbers advantage. Like, once you press in, they're coordinated enough, or, like, once you get to, like, a 6v5 or whatever, you can, if you're good, you press in, coordinate, and win, essentially. Like, right now, it's a good example, because Washington Justice is, like, right at the end of the match, like, if London Spitfire can win, if they get it, like, the payload 5 more meters, it's very close, but Washington got a pick. And all 5 members of Spitfire immediately retreated from the battle.
To wait for that other guy
to wait for the guy to respawn and come back. Because they knew, like, it would waste way more time if all 6 of them ended up dying.
Uh-huh.
And so that's kind of, like, where the pros versus, you know, random people just playing kind of differ. Because, you know,
random people,
when pros are coordinated and can do this kind of stuff... And 2, random people will just keep fighting no matter what, and they'll stagger, and then, like, they'll keep running in one at a time, and 6 versus 1 is always going to win, as opposed to 6 versus 6, which is what Overwatch is supposed to be. Oh, and Justice just won the second map. They stopped. They held them.
2-0?
Justice is now 2-0 over the previous season champions.
And we are now doing twice as good as we did last match.
Yes, we have won two more maps than... Well, we've won one more map than we did last match. And we're one map away from winning. Complete victory.
And over the champions, if you will.
Yes. And this is generally the same six people that played in the previous season. However, and this is where meta becomes important, because London was really good at dive meta, which was what the main thing was for most of the season last year. There was the Mercy meta, which was what I consider the worst meta that's ever existed in Overwatch. That's my personal opinion. Some people didn't like dive.
It's not really effectiveness. It's just simply you disliked it.
Yeah. It was for me, I disliked it because it was boring to watch.
What is the Mercy meta?
Mercy, she is considered like the main primary healer. Mm-hmm. She's focused on all her abilities are basically like she has the best single target healing ability.
Oh, so strongest healer.
Yeah. She can also damage boost. Like she has a beam and she can basically alternate between healing and damage. And she also has like her own pistol. That she can like pull out in emergency situations.
And then she can like offensive weapon is like a pistol. She doesn't like have like a stick to hit people with.
No, that's it. I mean, she can melee like everyone else, but the pistol is her own. And she can also fly to her teammates so she can escape. She always has an escape if like one of her team is like slightly away. But her ultimate ability was resurrection, which is a big deal. Mm-hmm. And what ended up happening was it's basically like an area of effect where if enough people, and she could just raise as many people as she wanted to. So like if all five people die in a close enough area, she can just bring them all back.
But it's like, it's a one, like when she does it, it's whoever's dead at that time, or is it like for 5 seconds, everybody's going to come
Whoever's dead at that time. And so what happened was Mercy players would, once they got their ult, would stop healing and hide. And it became everyone die together so I can use my ult. Uh-huh. And it became kind of this weird, games stopped being about like actually getting the point, because what would happen is you would use all your ults, kill all five people, and then Mercy would come fly in, res everyone, and now they have the advantage because you've used all your abilities. Mm-hmm. And so it became this weird kind of find the Mercy before we do anything, because and on top of that, you know, it wasn't engaging. Like they weren't healing the people they were supposed to. They were like, die together. You know, like it was, and that became the way everyone was using Mercy, and nobody liked that except for the Mercy players. And so Blizzard eventually changed how it worked. And when they changed that, that's what resulted in the Mercy meta, because they really ridiculously overpowered her.
So that wasn't the meta.
No, that wasn't the meta. That was like just random quick play, kind of the usual people. That wasn't in pros. Sometimes they would use that, but it was only because Mercy was a good single point healer anyway and was the best to use. So what happened was they changed it so her resurrect became a standard ability that she could use on a single target every 30 seconds.
Okay, then that becomes stagger and raise, I feel like.
So the 30-second delay was a big deal.
Especially in professional, probably.
Yeah, like that's a match usually goes for 4 minutes. Okay. So if you resurrect, well, 1 point is 4 minutes. Like a 2 CP... the capture point maps can go for a total of 8 minutes. You get 4 minutes for each point. So you're not get 30 seconds, especially if then the Mercy dies, like it takes 10 seconds for her to come back and it's still counting through her death. So it doesn't like reset when she dies. So if you res and then die, you still have to wait the full 30 seconds.
Okay.
So having it as an ability was one effect, but the other effect was they overpowered her new ultimate. And what would happen, what the ultimate, the new ultimate was Valkyrie. And what it did was she became like able to fly. So like she had like 360 up, down, like XYZ movement. Like you could, she could move about in any plane. I guess 6 degrees is the 6 degrees of motion because you got X, nine? Y, and Z.
Oh, yeah, like, I guess so.
Whatever. Yeah. And on top of that, her beam would go to multiple targets. So she could like heal everyone at the same time or damage boost everyone at the same time. And on top of that, she got 2 resurrect charges. And on top of that, when she used her ult, the resurrect cooldown immediately stopped. And on top of that, her gun got a power boost.
Battle Mercy.
Battle Mercy. Yeah. So what ended up happening was, like, Mercy would be a must in everyone's team because she was just way too good with her ult. Like, she would get it very quickly because she was always healing. And then as soon as someone died, she would burst it out. She would, like, resurrect them, then use her ult. And she'd be able, and she immediately has 2 charges she can use.
Wait, is this a temporary thing that she's a battle mercy?
The Valkyrie lasts 30 seconds. And she could resurrect 2 people at any point in time during those 30 seconds.
Okay. So I'm thinking, like, you have players like Anna, you were saying, supercharges people. A supercharged battle mercy.
That happened. And so, like, so it was just, everyone had to have a mercy. And fights became boring because in pro meta, like I said, it's 6-on-6 fights. Then you get a pick and you go in. And that's when the fight real starts. Like, there's footsies, like, back and forth. Then one person dies. Then it becomes the real fight. But so you would see these pro players getting really cool picks, like a Widow headshot or Genji performing an awesome thing. And then Mercy would just immediately revive them because there wasn't any time on it. Like, she could just go over and revive it. And they'd be back to 6-on-6, and you'd go back to, like, the boring footsies and, like, waiting and everything.
Okay. Did they nerf it?
Yes. They nerfed the hell out of it.
What is her ult now?
So I don't remember all the changes. She doesn't have powerful pistol anymore. She doesn't get any extra damage. It doesn't recharge the resurrects anymore, I don't think. Like,
but does she still get the 2 res?
She doesn't even get the 2 res. I don't think it has anything to do with resurrects anymore. Or maybe you get 1, but that's it. Like, you just get an extra 1. Even that was, I don't think there's any resurrect changes anymore. And on top of that, they made it so her resurrect has a delay. So, like, it takes, like, a second. So she has to, like, stand there just, like, so resurrecting.
You could shoot her out of it?
Yeah. And they also made it so she can be booped out of it. So, like, it has to be within, like, so, like, if you, like, charge her or, like, Lucio boops her or anything and she moves out of range, the resurrect fails. So there's now a lot of, like, baggage that comes with the resurrect that wasn't there before, because before she could just zip to a person, resurrect, and they were back. Like, there was no counterplay to it. And that was the big problem with the Mercy meta, is that because there was no counterplay, Mercy was a must. Because you get 2 to 3 extra bodies that you in a fight that you wouldn't normally get.
And sooner, and it's not even like a teleport or such, they were just there and ready to go, full health. And that's why, like, going back to the GOAT strategy, it seems like what it turns out is when you have another team running goats and you're running goats, it's all about who gets an ult combo.
Pretty much, yeah. Like, that's usually what goats are waiting for, the good ult. Like, Zarya's Grav or a D.Va Bomb or an Earth Shatter.
And a single, and that's what it, so that's, as a fan, a casual fan watching this, it is kind of, yes, boring in a way to see that everybody's running the same characters over and over, but I will say the ult combo makes the game a little bit exciting, because it's like, who uses a combination ult to get as many people as they can, with Reinhardt has his everybody falls down in front of him, and then you throw a Zarya's Grab, and so the 2 combination ults will, like, devastate a team. Or you could have, like, D.Va has an exploding one, and that one combined with a grab could totally take out a whole bunch of people.
Right, yeah, and you've seen a lot of that already in the first week. They're like, there was a Reinhardt Earth Shatter, which knocked everyone down, and then D.Va Bomb goes in and kills like 4 people.
R.I.P. Justice there.
Yeah, I think that was during the
that
Justice
was the one
map.
Against the Justice.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's interesting. Like, I'm okay with watching it for now, especially because there are some maps where you can use other strategy. Like the map dependent strategies are still valid. Like it's not all goats all the time. There are occasional maps where you can do something else.
What do we have on this map? Goats, goats?
Yeah, it's still goats, goats.
This is the lunar map, I think it was?
Yeah, this is Horizon Lunar Colony, which a lot of people think is the worst map in the game right now. Like, it's poorly designed.
Oh.
It's actually not full goats, goats, because London is running Winston instead of Reinhardt, which changes things a little bit. Winston still runs as, like, the main tank that's important to, like, be shielding people, but it allows for slightly more divey tactics where you can, like, focus a person because of the way Winston can just jump in.
Was also the map that I think the Justice were quite efficient at last time.
Yeah. They are not being quite as efficient this time.
Oh.
Oh, well, they got a pick, so they're going for it. They got two picks. That's probably the map for them. Yeah, it looks like just London.
Really good at the Lunar Colony map is what I was
curious. Well, so possibly Lunar Colony is a real crapshoot. Uh-huh. Like, it is one of the weirdest designed maps and kind of, like, pro strategies are kind of weird on it. Like, there's the San Francisco Shock, I think, last season didn't win on Lunar Colony a single time because they were just bad at that map, but they were all right at everything else.
Mm-hmm.
I can't explain exactly. I'm not, like, inclined enough to, not inclined, but like, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but I don't know enough about Overwatch and map design and thing as to why it's such a shitty map.
Uh-huh.
But most Overwatch players agree that it's not only shitty to play on, but it's shitty to watch on.
Shitty to watch on?
Like, it's weird in that it's kind of like a crapshoot. Like, in Justice's match, like, they were playing against NYXL, and NYXL had a Pharah, who is like this jetpack kind of flying around rocket guy, and there is a tire that hangs from the ceiling on point A, and the tire was swinging back and forth and swung in front of Pharah as she was using her ult, and he killed himself. And so it's just like random shit like that happens on Lunar Colony all the time.
See, I thought that was like intentional map design. It's like, this is an area that's anti-Pharah.
I mean, maybe.
But it's like, such a weird...
Yeah, it's just like this weird thing that like only happens some of the time and you don't really have any control over.
Yeah, because I was like, because when I saw that, I was like, did someone intentionally shoot the tire to make it swing? And just as a defensive measure, that's how you like counter a Pharah in that area, or counter aerial shots, basically.
I mean, maybe, but probably not. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't put that in there.
Because it was hilariously bad. Like, the Pharah was struggling in that little area because there was just simply a tire. It was a rubber tire on a rope swinging around and interfering with this like massive battle.
It was great. Yeah. It made for a great moment, but it's things like that where like,
you're a professional, you've been training for all of this.
And then a tire just ruins everything.
And then if you die from that, I didn't realize the Pharah died from that. That changes your whole strategy of how you're attacking it. You have to get your team back together. And it's like, wait, who killed us? Oh, he stupided.
The stupid has power even in Overwatch.
Even the pros stupid.
So Justice just cleared Lunar Colony with 418 left. And as I said, they get 4 minutes per map. So it means they cleared it in both points in just under 4 minutes. I will explain, since I kind of glossed over this earlier when I was explaining the different map types. King of the Hill is exactly what it sounds like and what we described earlier, where it's like both teams start at 0%. You hold the point in the center of the map without the other team on it, and it starts counting up in percentage in your favor. If you get to 100%, you win that map. It's a best of three every time, which is why there can never be ties on it. Mm-hmm. Then the other three maps are basically divided into attack and defense back and forths, where one team is trying to stop the objective, like hold the other team from completing the objective, and the other team is trying to complete the objective.
Mm-hmm.
The capture point or assault maps, commonly referred to by most people that play Overwatch as 2CP, two capture point.
Two being two capture points.
There's two capture points in the map, so people call it 2CP. it's essentially kind of like King of the Hill. It's not King of the Hill, but like I don't know how to describe it, but there's like there's an attacking is coming from one direction, mm-hmm. and the defense is trying to hold a point and essentially
capture the flag.
It's not really capture the flag because there's no mobility, and there is an actual capture the flag mode in Overwatch. Oh. So that's
never mind.
Yeah, but it's like one. It's not like a central area like it is in the King of the Hill maps. It's like a defendable area. There's usually a couple choke points that the offense has to come through. And essentially, the defensive team is trying to keep them off of the point entirely. And if any offense member gets on the point and there's no defense there to like protect it or like counter them or contest, then the meter starts counting up. And if the meter counts up all the way to 100%, they capture the point and then they move on to the second point.
Now, that's much shorter in time than the 100% one of the...
Yes. Oh, yes. Very. It counts up much quicker. And there's also like a mechanism where the more people are on the point, up to three, it counts faster. Okay. So you want to have at least three people on the point generally because it'll go up the fastest.
And it says sometimes contesting point.
That's when both the offense and defense are on it.
Okay.
And that so it's not counting up because...
There's a defender on
it. There's a defender on it, yeah. And so the what was added to this was at 33% and at 66%, it saves progress.
I was about to ask that. Of like,
so like you can get up to a third. So like if you manage to get a third of the way to 100%, but then get knocked off or whatever... Or like you're in everyone dies, it'll reset back to 33%. So you only have 2/3 of the way to go for on your next attack. And so it helps out a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it also helps with ties. Because if one team gets to like 63% on point two, the other team only has to get to like 64% to win.
Oh, they don't...
They don't have to go all the way.
It's just a... Got yeah. it.
But... You have to get it to at least 33% for it to count, because there were, for a little while they had it so like all you had to do was get it to 1% and then you would win if the other team didn't get it to any percentage at all.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, and so like everyone had to play on the point because someone like Sombra, who was like a stealth character, could just walk behind everyone and stand on the point and that was it and the game was over. And it was really dumb. So what they did was you have to get it to at least 33% for it to count as a win. Otherwise, if you both don't get anywhere, it counts as a draw. And so it's 2 CP. They have to do this twice. The advantage is with the attackers on the first point because the spawn for the defenders is really far away. And the attacker is close. The attackers are closer. On the second point, the advantage is with the defenders because their spawn is right there while the attackers are much further away. And so if they can hold out, they can get reinforcements much quicker than the attackers can. So it's a game of timing and like trying to hold out as long as possible. And that's where that kind of like poking onto the point and contesting for just a little bit to try and keep them. Like right now, that's what they're doing is stalling because Justice is about to lose.
How much time do they have to win?
They just finished.
Lost.
Yeah.
So wait.
So now it's 2-2. So...
Oh.
This is a good example. When it 2-2, there they have whatever time they have left of the bank now goes, they go again. So now Washington is going to attack again or London's going to attack again. It depends on whoever has the least amount of time in their clock. They always go first. Mm-hmm. And now they only have that much time to do it instead of like the full 8 minutes.
Got it.
And again, it goes as far as if you get both points, then it'll keep going.
I'm sorry, I'm highly distracted by the commercial.
The Lego Overwatch?
The Lego Overwatch Bastion character.
Yeah, the Lego Overwatch Bastion, there's like Lego Watchpoint Gibraltar with like a Tracer and Widowmaker, a little Lego.
Oh.
I think there's a Lego Reinhardt.
Because I was like, which characters would lend themselves? Bastion is a perfect Lego figure.
Yeah.
A robot. Like, as a kid, I would have loved that, I think. Because as an adult, I'm like, it's impractical.
Yeah.
But man. That was pretty cool.
I would just get a figure. I wouldn't get Lego Bastion. Although I do kind of want the Nerf Overwatch guns. Like it's really dumb, but it's
like, who are you gonna shoot it with?
I don't know. I just kind of want it.
You're gonna have it in your apartment. We're not gonna have like Overwatch matches.
Here's the thing. I really like the design of the Nerf McCree gun.
Oh.
But it's a single shot gun. Like, why would you...
Wait, the McCree gun, isn't that the...
It's a revolver. Yeah. Why? But it's only a single shot Nerf gun. It's really dumb.
I like that it's not even a six shot.
Yeah.
But you're an adult. You could buy an actual gun.
But I don't want an actual gun. I want a Nerf gun.
I can't disagree with that sentiment, but fair enough.
There's I might wait and see if there's better, because like the ones that are out now, I don't really want.
So what you're saying is they nerfed his weapon?
I hate you.
Your weapon.
I think there's a Nerf Diva pistol, and then there's Reaper shotguns, which come with like a Reaper mask.
Like the Reaper, it is a Nerf weapon.
Yeah.
And I feel like the Hanzo could be the Nerf. They just have to
have like the Nerf bow and arrow.
I used to have that. Yep.
Yeah. I think they made like a Genji blade too. It's not a Nerf gun though, or like a Nerf weapon. It's just like a plastic sword type thing.
I thought like somebody was just like a fan, like a fan.
No, no. There's an actual one you can buy on like the Blizzard store, I think. So London seems to be doing pretty well here. They've already scored the first point on their second attempt, and they're at the second point.
Oh, is it basically now? So both teams score both points. It's who did it the fastest.
Yeah. And since Washington did it the fastest the first time, London is attacking first here. And so I think London had 3 minutes left. And in the second round and every round thereafter, every time you capture the first point, you get an additional 30 seconds on your time. But that is it. Like, you never get any more additional time other than that extra 30 seconds. And it looks like London's about to take it again. They've got a minute 23 left.
And they've got 2 points of the third, or of the second point, they've gotten 2/3 of the way.
Yeah. And Justice is stalling pretty well, but I don't think they're getting any kills. This is going to be a fairly quick end here, because they brought out the Hammond. They're just stalling now.
Hammond being the hamster is just a stall character then, just rolling around.
Usually annoying. Like he's mobile. He can run around. He can sometimes drop mines if he gets his ult.
I see there's a May out there.
Yeah, there's a May, the ultimate stall character.
And so, wait, did London win? Or no, London, now Justice has a chance to go.
Yeah, now Justice has to go and get both points. Like,
to go faster.
Yeah, because it's 4-2 now, because London got both points again.
Mm-hmm. And the points matter somewhat in a way, not the 4-2 part, but how many of these quarters, basically, that you win, they matter in overall, like, season scoring?
Correct. For tiebreakers... And, like, the overall standing tiebreakers, map victories and how many you have matter. So, like, a 4-0 victory is better than a 3-1 or 3-2 victory, because the losses count against you in terms of the win-loss record. Like, you could have, like, it's important to win as cleanly as possible. Like, a 4-0, a lot of 4-0s will put you higher in the rankings, especially because this round... So the overall Overwatch League is divided into stages. Mm-hmm. So there's stage one, there's four stages, and then the final playoffs. And at the end of each stage, there's like a mini playoff where like the top teams of that stage play and get like a smaller prize. And then the overall playoffs at the end are for the across the entire season. And so with 20 teams, each team is only playing 7 games per stage. So that map differential is going to become very important, especially for like the minor playoffs, because there's probably going to be a lot of 5-2 teams or 4-3. Like, there's not, maybe there could be a couple 7-0s. We don't know. Like, that tiebreaker is going to be very important.
So it's not just, oh, you beat the team that you're tied with. It's a... How many wins do you have overall, or how many losses do you have overall?
Exactly.
In the makings of a, like, how many quarters or those types of individual matches did you win?
Right. Yeah. So I was kind of hoping that Justice would win this map, and then we could like definitively like end the podcast with like, yeah, Justice won.
Oh yeah, we've gone over an hour, but so I will say for the Justice, good for them, they lasted more than an hour.
They did, yeah. And it, I mean, oh, you hate to see that. Just zero-G deaths everywhere. Just falling out into space.
Wait, what? This is... Why are they in... Like...
Horizon Lunar Colony is the name of the map.
But this didn't happen during the previous, like, matchups.
That's because they didn't go outside.
Why did they go outside?
It was probably a strategy. They were moving...
Was it successful?
No, it was not successful because they all went flying out. If you, I don't know if you noticed, but Winston used his ult to knock one of them flying.
And yeah.
That's what happened. Winston's ultimate, he basically knocks everyone around. Winston is a giant gorilla, but he's smart. And his ability is he goes, his primal rage, he kind of goes crazy and just like starts knocking people around. And in zero G, when there's like space you can just die in, it's a pretty good thing to use.
Side note, primal rage, did you own it or play it?
The fighting game?
The fighting game?
With, like, the dinosaurs?
With the dinosaurs and the monkeys?
No, I did not play that. Oh, I mean, I didn't own it. I might have played it at some point.
I owned it. I liked it, actually. I'm not a big, like, Mortal Kombat or, like, Street Fighter guy, but I had Primal Rage. I don't know why. I liked it a lot. It was in the arcades, but it was also just a... You had villagers that would worship you, and you could eat them during the match to gain health.
Really?
Yeah, like they would be on your side or so, and you could take the enemy's ones and like kick them away or eat the enemy ones as well to gain health.
Huh.
Like, because the premise like of it that. Was you're a god and the gods were like these giant dinosaurs. Each of them owned like a territory of like Pangaea or whatever. And then they were going out to defeat the other like gods of the other ones. And so their villagers were trying to spread their influence and each villager like had their colors and such. And so, yeah, it was a weirdly... amusing game. I think it was Sega. Yeah, it was a Sega game, not a PlayStation or anything.
I remember seeing it in the arcade. I don't think I ever owned it myself.
I don't know if there was a sequel to... My favorite character was, like, there's a Velociraptor in it. And the characters were actually pretty fairly sized. Like, the monkeys were mediums, the T-Rexes were giant T-Rexes, and, like, the Velociraptors were, like, half the size of that. But the Velociraptor was, like, a Chun-Li, speedy, jump-off-the-wall, do-kicks kind of thing. The monkeys were, like, medium tanks. And then, like, the T-Rexes literally had no arms and stuff. All headbutt, head attack type things and tail whips for, like, range.
See, I know I'm thinking of more... I'm thinking of, like, Killer Instinct and Riptor.
Oh, yeah.
Who was, like, that... He was the... Killer Instinct was another random-ass fighting game. Like, they brought that back for Microsoft. And, like, apparently the new version was, like, really good.
Like I've heard, I thought that was like a good fighting game, Killer Instinct. It was like I the mean, competitor was, to Mortal Kombat.
It was goofy.
Was it?
I liked it, but it was goofy. You had like a robot and a
like I never played it, so I don't know.
An
actually.
Ice guy. There was a raptor. There was a skeleton. Then there was like just like a sexy woman who like
I mean, that's like par for the course.
Yeah, like just randomly in there. I think she was the only. No, there was a ninja who was the only other human character. Like there was just like it was like a fire elemental and a ice elemental and they were like aliens or something.
Huh.
Yeah, it was weird. Of course it was the 90s, so it was trying to be edgy. So like the one female character, one of her finishing moves was she would flash her opponent and like the opponent's eyes would bug out of their head and then they would fall over from a heart attack or something. I don't know. Like it was dumb.
I thought it was like, more, like I was like, oh, Killer Instinct, it's super violent and edgy and cool. I won't play it as a good boy.
It was like, it wasn't a bad fighting game. And as like a 90s fighting game.
Uh-huh.
I liked the characters because it was random and goofy. Like my favorite character was Cinder, who was the fire elemental guy. Because I could do like a 30 hit combo with him. Like it was the one, he was the only like character I could ever actually... Hey, look, the Nerf guns.
It didn't look like any Overwatch guns.
Yeah, they were. Actually, I don't know if they were just the Nerf rival brand, which is what Overwatch is under.
This looks like a fake Genji.
No, this is Anthem.
Oh, I've been hearing tweets about this. I don't know what it is.
Anthem is BioWare's new game, and I have a lot more to say about it, so I won't go into it now. Okay. But it's not reviewing very well.
Ah, okay.
And I tweeted something that you sarcastically tweeted back at.
Well, so it's not really a sarcastic. So I don't know what I'm talking about there. So yeah, exactly. I can't say it was sarcastic or not sarcastic.
It was ignorant. How about that?
It might have been ignorant. That's total on brand. That's fine.
Yeah. The
don't so call it sarcastic.
We'll end on a little bit of news, I guess.
Oh.
Because Justice just lost 2-1, and I'm not gonna sit here for another 30 minutes for while the last match goes on doing more podcasts, because editing the Kingdom Hearts one was long enough, and that one was only 1:30.
For the fans.
No, I'm not going to do it. I'm sorry.
Harvey Z, if he knew what he was doing, would do it. FYI. But he doesn't, so, you know, blame T-Man.
I mean, do you really want to sit here for another...
I mean, yes, of course. I would totally do this. I've got places to go, man.
Okay, so here's the deal. Anthem has been reviewing poorly, and the... Xbox has kind of a marketing deal with Anthem where they're going to like market the game and like pay money and get like extra stuff, you know, kind of a symbiotic thing. And so the VP of marketing for Xbox and Microsoft, I don't know if it was Microsoft, I think it was the Xbox division, VP of marketing of the Xbox division, tweeted that a reviewer was whining and didn't know what was going on in the game, and like it was anyway, he made a really bad tweet that looked really petty and was kind of like a bad, like going after journalists because journalists don't know what they're doing, kind of fake news ish
they're the thing. Enemy,
yeah, kind of like drawing lines in the sand. And it was just bad because people have been playing the beta and have kind of been iffy on Anthem. The review that he was like bashing on wasn't even that bad, and everyone felt like the complaints of the review were actually accurate, because the game, it was basically mentioned something about combos, which is a main thing in Anthem combat, but apparently the game doesn't give any good instructions for combos. And so the reviewer mentioned that, and then this VP calls it whining and like tweets about it, and then he gets into an argument and basically says that modern reviews should be, you should watch streamers and review for yourself, and that choose that as your...
Nobody's got time for that.
Yeah, well, and also, like, streamers can be sponsored to, like, you know... Uh-huh. And so, like, it was just a bad look, and I tweeted about it, and you tried to...
So my comment was simply like devil's advocate, like whining. I mean, maybe he was. There are whiny reviewers out there.
Sometimes you don't need a devil's advocate. Like, just this, like, was one of those times.
Like, I don't want to blind. I'm not a blind sheep. I mean, you need to read for yourself, and someone needs to read it for me and let me know what it is. I'm like, was it whiny or not whiny?
Well, maybe you could read it yourself.
Again, Harvey Z is not a sheep.
I'm pretty sure reading for yourself is the opposite of being a sheep.
Our president says differently.
On that note, where can they find you, Harvey Z?
If they still want to find me, it's at The Z Is Silent on Twitter.
Yeah, and you can find me at T-Man Plays Games on Twitter. You can find our podcast at Make Me a Podcast. You can always find my writings at tmanwrites.com. And you can email us with any questions at makemeagamerpodcast@gmail.com. I hope you enjoyed our All Overwatch All the Time podcast here. I think we did a pretty good job with it. We talked about the game going on a little bit, but I think overall it was...
I think this was sort of the intro to Overwatch Professional League, or like, this was basically, if you knew nothing about it, we've explained it. If you already knew this stuff, well... It's
probably boring. But we were entertaining. Yeah, we were entertaining, damn it. We don't care what you think. We do care.
There we go. That's the spirit.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
They're just whiny reviewers.
Yeah, yeah. You take it up with someone else. I don't know what I'm doing. Have a good night.